Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you receive from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love. Make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. You are one body and one Spirit, just as God also called you into one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So at 9 o'clock service this morning, I had the opportunity to baptize Andrew Amari Lambert. And Andrew is a year old and he is absolutely precious. He is the adopted son of Aaron and Elise Lambert. He's the fourth in the family, the fourth boy in the family. And to hold him and to baptize him was absolutely precious. It's one of my favorite things that we do together in the church is to baptize. I love baptisms. I love the significance of baptism in the life of the community of faith. I love what it means in individual lives. And I love the theological undergirding of what baptism means for us. One of the most important things that we do is that we baptize in community. And so we baptize in worship services on purpose because there is a piece that we commit to as a family of faith that we will honor and love and respect the person who is being baptized. When I'm doing a baptism, there is I just love the words of it. I love the things that are very traditional. And I want you to hear the questions that I ask in baptism. I say, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And the next question is the one that gets me. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? I love that one. Do you put your whole trust in His grace? And then if I'm baptizing an infant, I will ask the church, I will say, will you nurture these persons in Christ's holy church? By your teaching and example, may they be guided to accept God's grace for themselves and profess their faith openly in a way that leads to Christian life. Those are big, beautiful questions. And then this awesome thing happens. It's not just that I am asking these questions of the person who's being baptized or the parents, but then the church responds. And this is what we say. We say, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the gospel of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the ways that lead to life. Baptism is a commitment. It's not just an individual making a commitment to God. It's not just parents making a commitment to raise their children in a way that leads to life, but it is our commitment as the body of faith to nurture and to love one another, to provide an environment that is full of love and forgiveness. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in these words that he's giving and offering in Ephesians. Baptism, it binds us together. The scripture says, accept each other with love. Make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. We are bound together in our promise to love one another and to love God. We commit to be a community of love and forgiveness. So we go into this commitment understanding that it's going to be a challenge for us all, but we will be a place of support to one another. We pledge that we will be a place that offers and receives forgiveness, and we will live together in relationship. And that always works really well until somebody hurts your feelings or until you have your foot in your mouth. That is when the rubber meets the road. That is when we have to say we will be a community that offers forgiveness. We will be people who accept forgiveness of other people and offer that back to them. We are making a commitment in baptism to be the community that we want to be and we want to grow into and live into the future. The scripture talks about our unity. It doesn't say that we will be united around a common interest or even like-mindedness. In fact, Paul is writing to the Jews and the Gentiles. And sometimes we forget how hard that was for the Jewish people to accept the Gentile people. And there was this tension and there was this otherness. And they wanted to point the finger and say, you need to do it this way. But Paul is saying you need to accept one another in love. Sometimes we gloss over the fact that that was difficult for the early church, that they were not always united together. We look back with rose-colored glasses, but Paul was on the front line saying, you need to love one another for the sake of Christ. It's one baptism, one church, one place that is big enough for all of you to be united together because God's love is big enough to hold us in one space. And they did it for the sake of the gospel. Now, unity is not the same as uniformity. If that were the case, Paul would never have said, accept each other with love, because it is super easy to love the people who think like you, act like you, have your same opinion, right? But it's not as easy when we're not the same. But God created us differently. And God asks us to accept one another in our differences and our challenges, to have our hearts that are open to see God lived out in another person, and accepting and loving people for the sake of Christ. I was reading an article this week, and it was about having conversations with people who disagree with you. And there was actually a whole website that it linked to talking about something called living room conversations. And it was this information about how to have and nurture conversations with people who are different than you. And I am very intrigued by this because the more I live in this world, the more I see that people cannot have conversations with people who disagree with them very well. And so I was reading this and thinking about it and understanding that the heart of what they were saying is you can disagree with somebody and still love them if you are in relationship with them. When you understand their perspective and their struggles and where they have come from, you are much more likely to accept them, to respect them, and to honor where they are. It also said they probably, two people, even living in relationship with differing opinions, neither one of them will be moved from their opinion. But when we sit down and when we look at someone and respect them, it changes the way we live and behave together. And so it's not about changing someone's mind, it's about loving the person who is in front of you. And I truly believe that that's what Paul is saying in this scripture, that when we approach it with humility and patience and love, when we're living in places of forgiveness, we might not always get it right, and there might be times that our feelings are hurt, but when we're doing that life well, we can be the body of Christ lived out in the world. We are baptized into this family of faith, and we commit to be in a loving and nurturing relationship with one another in ways that lead us to life in Christ. Baptism, it calls us to higher expectations. As those who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, those who put our whole trust in His grace, we are to conduct ourselves as representatives of Christ in the world. Paul says, conduct yourselves with humility and gentleness and patience. And sometimes that list is really hard. Sometimes that list is a challenge for us. But Paul is saying, live out in the world the love that you have received from God. Take moments of time to step back from the chaos and remember that Christ lives in you and that you are a reflection of Christ in the world. We do this living with gentleness and patience, with humility, we do this because we believe that God meets us in that place, that God meets us with gentleness, that God meets us with love and patience. I know God has a lot of patience, and God meets us in that place and loves us like we are. God transforms our heart and sends us into the world to be Christ in this place. Christ to one another and Christ in the world. We do this thing together in community. We do this baptismal vow because we love God and we want to be Christ in the world for each other in a way that reaches out in love so that others can come to know the incredible love of Christ. So this morning, as we celebrate, not in this service, but we celebrate as a body of Christ, that we have once again baptized a new little baby into our church, I want you to think about what that looks like. What does it look like to be committed to one another, to be a community that promises to raise our children in ways that lead to life, to forgive one another when our feelings are hurt, to ask for forgiveness when we have done wrong? What does it look like to be God's people who put our whole trust in His grace so that we can live together well? What does it look like to serve the Lord in a way that shows our community that we love one another and that we are a reflection of God? And so this morning, as we celebrate a beautiful life that we as a community nurture and will love, we once again commit to one another to be a place that offers love and forgiveness, to be a people who put our whole trust in God's grace and to serve Him as Lord. And I pray that God may strengthen us with the Holy Spirit, that we may be a community that thrives because we love God well and we're committed to loving others. Amen.